You're listening to the Namely Marley Podcast, episode number 46. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Namely Marley Podcast. I am so glad that you're here to join me today. I am your host, Marley, and the goal of this podcast is to focus on adding a little creative, healthy, and passion-filled living to your day every day. Today, I'm talking with Julie Pyatt. She's otherwise known as Srimati. Julie is releasing a new book called This Cheese is Nuts, and I'm really looking forward to sharing our discussion with you all. But first, let's talk about sleep and animal cruelty. What do these two have in common? Okay, so let me tell you this story. When I first went vegan, I did it almost entirely for the health benefits of it, but also there was kind of that cool factor. I really love having a leg up on being cool. I have a long ways to go. But anyway, it didn't take long for me to realize that vegan is more than just diet. It's also a way of life. So when you see how animals are used in our world for products of comfort for people, it can be a little disheartening, like leather and wool. Angora is another example of, you know, what's a product that I used to buy just regularly until I learned how Angora is actually cultivated. And that's a very nice way of saying how the fur is plucked from the animal. Those are all things that, you know, we use on a regular basis that comes at a very big price for animals. So Sean and I, and Addie too, we're always on the lookout for products that we can buy and support that also is part of our goal of reducing animal suffering. And so I was recently introduced to Charm Comforters. And you know, with comforters, it feels like you have just like one of two options. You can get down or polyester. And as you know, down is made from feathers. And so we really try to stay away from that. But then again, polyester can not feel like a great alternative either, because it's just kind of hot and smothering and not very breathable, I guess is the word that comes to mind. It doesn't have that same airiness to it. I was really excited to see Charm Comforters because they replicate that kind of high loft, soft, give and take, kind of like the feel that you get out of a down comforter. So Charm did a lot of research and they tested out a lot of materials and they landed on this textile fiber that's made from eucalyptus trees. It has the look and feel of cotton, but it's also hypoallergenic. So we are loving our Charm Comforter, and I think you will too. And Charm is providing something really special to the Namely Marley audience. Go to namelymarley.com/charmsleep. Then enter the code Marley on your order to get $25 off your very own Charm Comforter and free shipping. How exciting is that? Make sure you spell Marley the right way. It's M-A-R-L-Y. There's no E in there. So, okay, on to today's feature interview. Today, I'm talking with Julie Pyatt. She's co-author of the book, The Plant Power Way. She wrote this delicious cookbook with her husband and podcaster, Rich Roll. I'm sure you've heard of Rich. He's a well-known ultra athlete. He's completed 5 Ironman triathlons in 5 days on 5 different Hawaiian islands. That's a pretty impressive feat. And his podcast is obviously one of the more popular plant-based podcasts out there. So that's why I think you've probably heard of him before. Julie and Rich are plant-based enthusiasts and they share their message on both podcasts and books. So I'm a regular listener of Julie's podcast on spirituality. It's called The Divine Throughline. I listen to several of her meditations on a regular basis to help cultivate creativity. She's very much in touch with this divine energy that can help you cultivate and kind of cleanse from all the, toxicity of the world that we endure on a daily basis. At least that's how I describe it. It's almost like if you can imagine, daily life can be a little bit like being in a smoke-filled room and you're just covered with all that cigarette smell and all that stuff, and you got to go take a shower. Well, that's how I feel about meditation in general, that meditation is just kind of a way of cleaning yourself from all that. And Julie just has some really nice insights that I enjoy listening to. So I was really thrilled for the chance to talk with her and talk about her new book, which is called This Cheese is Nuts. And that title is apropos. You want to know why? Because she's come out with, let me see if I can remember how she said it, Cheese 2.0. It's all the cheeses you love, like blue cheese and feta and mozzarella and all of that and more. And it's all made from plant-based ingredients including nuts. I mean, like literally nuts. And the book includes instructions on how to make these cheeses in your own kitchen. You know, I think it's really perfect because it kind of, I don't know, it reminds me of this trend that's going on right now where people are making all their own things like artisan wines and artisan beers, and they're doing this all kind of homebrew style in their own kitchens. And it makes me think that this kind of follows along perfectly this way, right? So you can make your own plant-based artisan cheese, and you can make it out of nuts. She's got also nut-free recipes in there as well. All ways of making your own cheeses, and with very simple instructions for the most part. And in fact, you may require a dehydrator, and I've left a link in the show notes page for you to order dehydrators don't have to be this big expense. In fact, I found one that's around $50. So I'm really looking forward to sharing this interview with you today. I think you're going to love it because Julie and I also talk about the health benefits of a plant-based diet. In fact, we even go into the topic of weight loss. So if you've ever struggled with your weight, I know that I enjoyed listening to Julie's perspective on that, and I think you might like that as well. So why don't we just get right to it? Here's today's feature interview with Julie Pyatt. Hey everyone, I'm happy to have Julie Pyatt. She's also sometimes known as Srimati, or the other way around, I'm not sure. But she's the author, musician, yogi, podcaster. I could go on, but I'm sure we're going to get into all of that. So hey Julie, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so beautiful to be back sharing these moments together. It's been, I don't know how long, like a year at least,
yes.
Right?
I think it was last January. So Julie was on my other podcast, which is called the Chop Podcast. And we were talking about the spirituality of, I think it was entrepreneurism, because there's so much that's asked of people when you're, you know, going out there to be an entrepreneur. And I still go back and listen to that episode because you gave such wonderful advice, Julie.
Well, I hope I did. I never really know what comes out of my mouth. So maybe I should go back and listen to the episode and remember what I said.
I'll include the link in the show notes page so everybody can look at it. You know, I'm really looking forward to you. We're going to afford to talking with you. We are going to be talking about your latest book, which is called This Cheese is Nuts. Everybody, you should just stop what you're doing and go get this book right away. It is amazing. Beautiful photography. I can just tell this has been, well, actually, I know this because I listened to your podcast. This has been a labor of love.
That's true. It certainly has. No, we're extremely happy with the result. And it was a wonderful spiritual experience of creativity and just understanding that where there's a will, there's a way. And there are many different ways to express things in manifest form, like food or artistic creations. And if you had told me that I would be able to create this level of cheese without using any dairy or milk, I would have thought it impossible. But I have to tell you that I was delighted beyond my wildest imagination at what is available for all of us just beyond the fence, you know, just beyond the place we've been living and thinking that, you know, that this is the best thing for our bodies, you know, to eat dairy. And now we're discovering that that's very false. And dairy is responsible for many, many, many health imbalances. But you know, there's just, it was extraordinary. So I'm super excited to share this book with everybody and also let people know that, I mean, I'm talking thick, rich, cheesy, creamy, wet, like, you know, like fresh mozzarella, burrata, like, you know, camembert, brie, blue cheese. There is a lot in this book. So if you're a cheese lover, you're going to want to check this out.
And I think all the vegans in the world, I think this is like the number one thing, that, at least that I hear when I talk to people about a vegan diet, is they're like, oh, I can't give up cheese. This should be the book that you give to everybody who says that.
Yeah, exactly. And the beauty of the book is that it's, you know, I'm a plant-based chef. Everyone in our household, we're all vegan, but we're not politically vegan. We're just vegan as a healthy way of lifestyle. And we have a very open policy, and I love cooking and exchanging ideas with, you know, all people who eat all different kinds of ways. But this book is also relevant for paleo because paleo people don't eat any dairy. And it's actually also technically a raw book because except for a few of the cheeses, the dehydrator is only heated to 90 degrees. So, you know, it fits in that space as well.
So you felt like the dehydrator was a good tool to turn some
Well, it really isn't. Yeah, if I can, Marla, let me talk about the dehydrator a little bit. Let me share my experience. And I have to admit, like, until this book, like, I'm the author of The Plant Power Way, which is a family plant-based cookbook with over 120 recipes. It's extraordinarily hearty, you know, full of creative recipes. And these are recipes and meals that I feed my Ultraman husband. And, you know, I have, you know, three grown boys in their 20s that live with me, that my children, and also younger kids. So even throughout that entire journey, I didn't buy the dehydrator. And I think I didn't because I wanted to go on the journey along with my listeners, you know, like I wanted to evolve with you guys and along with my readers and the people that I'm connecting with. But I have to tell you that when I got the dehydrator to start this book, I was kind of kicking myself and laughing at how ridiculous I was that I hadn't gotten it.
Really? It's because that good? I don't have one.
It's so simple. It's just, it's that kind of thing. I was talking to Rich about it this morning. It's a thing where you just don't know about it. So it's in your mind because you don't know about it. You make it like this complicated thing, but it's not complicated at all. And it in fact gives you the opportunity to create so many more delicious recipes. And the beautiful thing about the dehydrator is most of its work is done just sitting there. You put the food in the dehydrator and walk away and go live your life for 24 hours and then come back and switch something. That's literally it. So, you know, we think dehydrator, I don't know if I could go there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So let me just tell, you know, dispel that energy. First of all, you can get one online for, you know, probably around $75 or something like that. And I would just get a basic model, just a 5-shelf model. But in the cheese book, the book is sort of separated into 3 different categories. So you have a section which is super easy spreads, which require no aging. So you can just go with a Vitamix and a food processor, you're set to go. And then the next level is this one step of aging. And you'll need this aging also if you make yogurt or sour cream, which those recipes are also in the book and so delicious and so amazing. But literally you blend the mixtures in the Vitamix, transfer them into forms or molds, and cover them with parchment paper and put them in the dehydrator for 24 hours.
That's it.
And then the next day you take them out and put them in the fridge for 24 hours and walk away. So in 2 days you have aged cheese, cheeses that have the flavor of blue cheese, of camembert, of brie, of triple cream. It's crazy. Now, if you want to go further, you can get a humidifier, which humidifier is another name for something called a wine cooler, which many of us have a separate wine cooler in the garage or, you know, something, you know, in our homes, but I got one online for, I think, $100, and it's a half wine cooler with wood shelves. Mm-hmm. And then I take my aged cheese and I keep it in there, sprinkle it with fine sea salt, and it continues to age for up to 3 weeks.
Wow.
So what I can do is I can make a batch, let's say 4, eat one now, and then, you know, keep one for the next, you know, the next week and the next week and the next week. And, you know, also with plant-based cheese, it's like we're not advocating that you eat this cheese every day of your life. You know, you eat it along with a lot of healthy greens, with a lot of, you know, living whole foods. It's a condiment.
Smoothies, yes.
Yeah, it's something to go into your salad. It's something to, you know, add on top of your warm veggies. But anyway, I just told you about the most difficult cheeses to make in the book. And then there are tons of other recipes that are just sauces, you know, warm sauces and spreads and these kind of things.
Yeah. And, you know, even some that are nut free.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I did. I had to put some nut free recipes in because in our families, you know, we have so many varieties of needs, I think, in, you know, in the modern family. And so I was delighted to find that I could make super delicious, cheesy, form cheeses, even with beans. Mm. So it's great. So I have beans, tofu, there's a delicious feta 2 ways in the book. That's absolutely divine. And that's made with sprouted tofu. And then there's also, some seed cheeses made with sesame seed and sunflower seeds.
So Julie, I just have this image of you and I'm just trying to wonder, like, how is it that this idea came upon you to make vegan cheeses?
Well, I think the ink wasn't dry on the Plant Power Way. And the truth of the matter is that I'd had this process with trying vegan store-bought cheeses, specifically the ones that are shredded.
Yeah.
So in the beginning days, I found one which was an almond base and kind of sort of liked it a little bit. And tried to melt it over my nachos. And then when I went to clean up, I realized I needed a jackhammer to get the melted cheese off the tray.
Yeah.
So I was reflecting on my intestines and the fact that my family was going to have to digest what I had just given them and that was in their gut. So suddenly I put two and two together and it was a big no for that, right? So soon after that, I developed like a warm cashew cheese sauce. And a lot of people, a lot of vegan chefs and plant-based chefs were making these types of sauces. I want to give credit actually to Real Food Daily as being really some of the first people and Gentry who created the first plant-based cheeses that I ever tasted. But anyway, it's my version is a delicious warm sauce. And so we started doing our nachos. And instead of melting cheese over them, I would stack them with everything and then pour this warm cashew cheese sauce over the top. And it is so just fall on the floor delicious.
Really?
That, oh, my family would just, there would be none left. Like I could barely get it out of the kitchen to the table and it would be gone.
Oh my God.
So we had already started exploring using this warm cashew cheese in place of melted cheese. And then we tried the same thing with pizzas. So we would make this great homemade pizza with all these veggies, and I would go ahead and toss a salad with my vegan Caesar dressing that's in the Plant Power way.
Yes.
And then we would take the hot pizza with the tomato sauce and the veggies. We would pour the warm cashew sauce from the stove right on top and then add the salad on top.
Uh-huh.
And it's literally fall down on the floor delicious. I mean, you've never eaten a pizza that's that good, and you don't have any issues digesting this cashew sauce. So when I finished this, I thought, wow, there's really something available for us here inside the world of plant-based cheese, and I call it the new evolution of cheese. It's really cheese 2.0.
Wow. And
people say to me, you know, wow, well, does it taste exactly like blue cheese? And I would say, no, it tastes better than blue cheese. And by the way, have you recently tasted blue cheese?
Yes.
Like the actual blue cheese? It can be argued that it tastes a little bit like a smelly tennis shoe. You know, really,
yes.
You know, so I mean, do we really love it, or did we like some aspects of it? And then we ordered that, you know, that pasta
right.
with blue cheese and almonds, which gave me a stomach ache on bite three, and I was regretting ordering it.
And
like,
you
that
know,
was usually my experience.
When you have a pizza that has dairy mozzarella on it, it is just so greasy and oily. I don't understand why people like that.
Yeah. So it's, again, it's a shift it's a shift. That's why it's cheese 2.0 because, you know, we're not, and first of all, also just talking about the level of preparation, if you were going to make actual cheese, it would take you months of like aging in a cave. Like it's way more complicated. I mean, my thing is like kindergarten level compared to what it would take if you were going to make actual cheese. All I can say is I'm delighted beyond. These cheeses are so delicious. And what a demonstration of the truth that there are solutions waiting for us in our world. We can evolve. We can find better ways to do things where we, you know, this cheese is compassionate. It doesn't harm or brutalize any animals. And that is a truth that is taking place in dairy industries, you know, throughout the world. And it's just true. You know, these animals should not be treated the way they're being treated.
Absolutely.
And then also just health wise, it's not good for us. And we're now finding all these, health, diseases that are coming up that are as a result of dairy. And I just shot some video with Dr. Neil Barnard, who wrote an amazing book called The Cheese Trap. And we got together. We're very, you know, definitely from different planets. You know, he comes at it from health. You know, he's all about health, and I'm all about vibration and energy. But we do meet over the animal compassion, you know, component very nicely. And it was cool to see him so delighted tasting a couple of my cheeses. He really was blown away. So that was really cool.
Yeah, but how nice it is that they both, cross that boundary as well, that these cheeses are healthy as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I have to say I was tasting more cheese on a daily basis than, you know, you would imagine. And I have to admit, I never ever was sick. I never had a stomach ache. I never had digestive issues. And I was literally thinking to myself, wow, this really does digest. Where normally when you think of nuts, because when we're using these nuts in these recipes, they've been soaked very, very, very well.
Yes.
Then in many cases, there's been a probiotic added to them.
Mm.
So they really, I mean, I'm telling you, you will digest this cheese. You will be shocked at how amazing your body feels.
Ah, I can't wait because, you know, but, I mean, we're all looking to feel better, right? And we all want to be healthy.
Yeah. No, I think all of us are. And I think, you know, I mean, you know, Rich and I always say, transform your plate, change your plate. It will transform your life.
Mm.
Literally will transform your life. So if you're eating chemistry, which is processed food, GMO food, if you're eating animal products, which has violence in it,
mm-hmm.
the terror of the animal, the brutalization of the animal when it's killed, no matter how it is, but unfortunately it's not being done in a very humane way. Not that any killing is really humane.
Yes.
It's not natural to us. And I think we become accustomed to certain things because that's where we were raised. And
yeah.
I think it's important for me to point out that I was raised by a hunter. I lived in Alaska and I grew up on game meat. So I'm very familiar with eating meat. And it's not about having any judgment about our past actions. It's about saying, what is going on planet Earth right now? What is going on with climate change? What is going on with these industrialized practices that are brutalizing living beings? And what is going on health-wise? And if you look in these three subjects, and don't take my word for it, but if you go and do some research and watch some films like What the Health or Cowspiracy,
mm-hmm.
or read Dr. Barnard's book, The Cheese Trap, you're going to find overwhelming evidence that these three areas are severely out of balance. And that can be very overwhelming because you think to yourself, well, what can I do about global warming? Or what
yes.
can I do about an animal, you know, industrialized meat plant where they're brutalizing animals, but I'm not there? Or what can I do, you know, about my health? I've been diagnosed with, you know, different forms of disease, diabetes, whatever, heart disease, whatever it is. But the thing is that you can do something very powerfully right now.
Yes.
Actually, your next meal. Your
yes.
very next meal, you can choose plants on your plate and you will have made a huge impact to correct this imbalance. And the reason is because dairy production takes an enormous amount of water. And most people don't understand is it takes 1,000 gallons of water to produce 1 gallon of milk. So 1,000 gallons of water produces 1 gallon of milk. So how, you know, that's just not sustainable. That's not where we want to be using our resources. Plus the denial or the inability to look at what cheese is doing, and it's highly addictive. So there's huge compassion and understanding. This is not our fault.
Right.
It has an addictive element in it. It's the casein. That is actually addictive. And Dr. Barnard talks about this, but, you know, we can make these powerful choices with choosing plants on our plate. And every time you do that, you save an animal's life, you make a vote for your health, and you make a move towards healing this earth and saying, you know, that you care about nature and that you want to be a part of the solution. So I always say that we all were created from a divine blueprint. And so the reason that I'm sharing this book is not because I want you to be like me or I want you to, you know, you to live my life. I know that you were created in this divinity and I need you to be you. We all need you to be you exactly as you were created. And if you're eating violence or you're eating chemistry, then you're not feeling yourself. You're not truly in touch with who you are because humans have huge empathy. And that's why they call
yes.
these practices inhumane. They're inhumane because they're not human. That is not a human act. That is somebody who has become very out of balance.
Yes.
And that's okay because we're all here to help each other get back in balance. And so this is offered with, you know, great love and compassion. And I dedicated the book, the dedication of the book is to Gaia, which is another name for Earth, and all her children. So, you know, recognizing that we're all her children, and this kind of belief that we are above animals and that we have the right to overtake them, is an imbalance and is maybe not the highest way. We can do better.
And how much better we are when we're moving above that and treating animals respectfully and our bodies as well. I love that.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it's not a perfect road. So you know, it's a curvy, bumbly thing sometimes. And you do the best you can in the moment. So again, I want to offer that this is not given with any judgment at all. This is given with complete compassion of knowing that we're all part of this collective. No one is immune, you know, to what is going on. But we really can be a part of the solution by embracing some of these newer ways of living and being. And I'm thrilled in this book to be able to provide you. I know you will learn, let's say, a minimum of 15 new things that will literally change your life. Like even if you don't make every single recipe in the book, which I hope you do, but even if it'll give you the tools to shift just some key foundational things, and you'll be pleasantly surprised, as I was, I'm sure.
You know, I live in Missouri, and I grew up in a small town, and so there's a lot of cheeses in here I had never even heard of. So I'm just curious, like, how did you know about these cheeses before you started this book, or did you have to do? The follow up question would be, did you know the process for making these cheeses? I imagine you had to do a lot of research to figure this out.
I had to make some stuff up. So what I did is, I had to go read the ingredients on vegan packaged cheese.
Okay.
I did consult a book called the, I'm going to grab my book so I get the name right. It's Sky Michael. Hold on one sec. It was a kind of obscure book, self-published. I don't know if it's her or him. Sky Michael is the name. I don't even know. But it's the Non-Dairy Evolution Cookbook by Sky Michael Conroy. And the reason I want to give them the recognition right now is because I saw this process that they used in the book, and it was making this warm cheese on the stove. And I tried with their recipe, and it wasn't for me. It's not the ingredients that I want. It was a fail. But I got that information. So I was able to take that information and go, oh, this is something somebody could do. And then I changed all the ingredients and did it my own way. So,
it's almost like the process.
That was one of the processes that was hugely, wonderful. And then, the other things is, you know, I just kind of thought about it. I thought, wow, I'd like to make a burrata, and I'd like to try to use sprouted almonds for that. And what if I just hung it overnight in a cheesecloth? And then I thought, I'm just going to soak it in a bowl of coconut milk and see what happens. And that was a just glorious delight success. Like, I don't know how I knew. I just thought about it, you know?
Yeah, so that's something I like about you based on your podcast. It seems to me like, you know, we talked about this last time too, that you kind of offer your day to a higher power, and you're looking for that kind of spiritual guidance. I think that's something we all could use more of.
Well, I think, thank you. I mean, I feel like this is what I was trying to share, is like, I really feel that we need to be open to new creativity. Yes. So what I do as a chef is, I don't normally go buy a bunch of cookbooks and do a bunch of research. Now in cheese, I did a lot of fail. Like, I tried hemp seeds. Hemp seeds did not work out, by the way. Very bitter. That was a big fail. Mm. And then I kept trying my Camembert and Brie cheeses, and they kept tasting not good. And so in the end, you know, in my Brie and Camembert, I left the aging component completely out of the cheese, which just seems bizarre, but I don't know how they do age just on their own without a probiotic. So I didn't even add anything to them. And I even, to the point where I had to go back and double check, because I was like, did I make a mistake? And so, you know, a lot of it, it was just trial and error. Let me try this and see if I can achieve this. And I will tell you, the hardest recipe in the book is a grated sharp cheddar. And the reason is because, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not a fan of vegan shredded cheese. It has a weird consistency to it. Some of it is really gooey and gross, and some of it's flaky. Like, I just don't think it's been, you know, it's been achieved really. So I found a way to achieve it, but it takes longer. So you have to do a warm cheese. You have to refrigerate that. Then you have to age that. Then you have to put it back in the fridge and cut it into sections. Uh-huh. And when the cheese is very, very cold, you can grate it. And it does get that flat, velvety texture. And that was the final recipe that I finally succeeded in, because, you know, I've given up grated cheese because I've discovered the beauty of already melted cheese that I don't have to grate and then melt.
But you can grate this cheese when you're done with it?
You can. Yeah, you can. It takes, you know, it takes an extra step. You got to make sure it's really cold and get it out of the fridge and do it on the, you know, flat, on the big grate teeth, you know, the biggest ones.
I got you. And you also use beta carotene for the color?
Yeah, I did. So again, you know, like in researching or like other people, you could use something called annatto, which is, I think, from a seed. Mm. And that's made in traditional cheeses. I thought about turmeric, which I do use turmeric in one of the sauces. But really, the best way to get the color, just to make it, you know, accessible. Most people don't know what annatto is, and you would have to get it from a special place. Yeah. So I just tried beta carotene and it was perfect.
That's what I love. Yes, it's healthy, and also, but a lot of these ingredients feel very accessible.
They really are. They definitely are.
I'm in Missouri, and we have health food stores all around. We have a Sprouts. We've got, you know, all of these stores around. So, you know, probably the hardest part will be getting like raw almonds, but they're at Costco, so no excuses.
They have them at Sprouts too.
Ah, yes, exactly. Yeah. So I love this. I think it just opens the door for people, like I say, who have been saying for a while, I would go vegan, but I really would miss the cheese. And this just opens the door for them to come on in.
Definitely does. It definitely does. So I'm really excited to see people's reactions.
Yes. And you know, I also wanted to point out that these are not just all savory cheeses. You've got some cheeses in here that are for dessert as well, like cheesecake.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of companion meals. So what I did is I didn't only just give you the cheese recipes, but then I gave you meals that you could use the cheese in. Yeah. So this cheesecake recipe in here is just divine. It's absolutely delicious. It's made with cashew base. And then there's other one thing I'm super proud of, and I was really happy that I solved this dilemma. My favorite dessert when I was eating dairy was creme brulee. And I have created an absolutely delicious creme brulee recipe. You make it in the Vitamix. Everything's so easy. You pour it in the ramekin, and then you do have to buy yourself a chef's torch, which is like $19, if you want to burn the sugar on the top and create that caramelized top. But you will succeed, and your friends and family will be amazed, and they will fall in love with you.
And they'll want to come back for more, right?
They will. I still, you know, I really do think there is wisdom to the saying that, you know, the way to people's hearts are through their stomachs.
Yes. And I do remember you talking last time about the importance of the kitchen, you know, that it's like the soul of the home.
Yes. Yeah, it is. I mean, I always say, you know, people say, well, I don't have time to cook. And then my reply is, well, you should make time.
Well, I would also say, look at your life. I would say you wouldn't have time to cook, but you know, you're writing music and singing and performing and recording and working on yoga CDs for people, or I guess I don't even call them CDs, right? What pro
video.
Courses?
Video.
Yes. Video. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yoga videos. Thank you. But you're doing a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do a lot. And, the other thing is though that we've become accustomed to eating this way. So literally when we go out, we have a really hard time finding someplace we want to eat more than we want to eat at home.
We feel the same way. Yes.
Do you? That's so good to hear. Yes. I'm so glad.
I can't really think of too many restaurants that I think, wow, I just love that food so much better than what we do here.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I love that. See, that's how it should be.
It's nice not to have to do the dishes, that's all.
That's true. And I have to say that, you know, sometimes, especially during the book and recipe testing, it's doing a cookbook is an extraordinary amount of work. I mean, it's really, really, really a lot. And it's every single element, you know, that you have to double check and triple check and recipe test. And so, yeah, I have to say there are definitely some days when I am creatively spent.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, get me, you know. Get me out of here.
I do not want to make another meal.
Yes. No. Like, I will not be cooking, everyone. Yes.
I would love to chat with you for a minute about, you know, you were talking about the health benefits of a vegan diet. And I know I've heard you talk about the cyst that was on your neck. I was wondering if you could talk about that for a few minutes.
Yeah, I would. So it was kind of just the way that I had my entree into food. And it was interesting is that, you know, I was the youngest of five kids. I already just said I was raised in Alaska, but also my mom had gone back to work. And also, my mom's many amazing things, but she's not an amazing cook. And so that wasn't part of, she's extraordinary. She's brilliant. I adore her, but that just wasn't her thing. And so, you know, I wasn't raised with that like that. My grandmother, however, was devoted to her kitchen and I didn't see her very often. It was my dad's mother. But when I did see her, you know, her life was get up at 6 and her bedroom was right by the kitchen. And she literally worked in the kitchen from 6:30 until 11 at night every single day. And of course, as a young person, I was like, what a tragedy, you know? And so I giggle a little bit that now I'm kind of living her life in some ways. The universe will do that to you,
yes.
Right? If you develop a judgment about something, it will provide it for you to overcome. So, and I was always pretty thin. So, you know, I'm a thin person, so I didn't have to, and also food was never really an issue. So it wasn't like finish everything on your plate. We didn't have a lot of emotions around food in our family. That's not our thing. We have a lot of other issues, but not that. So I was thin and basically could just eat what I wanted. Not that things were digesting well, but I was completely disconnected with that process altogether. So I didn't even really ever think about it or even really understand about digestion. And then I developed this big cyst in my neck, in the front of my neck, and it was diagnosed as incurable without surgery. Mm-hmm. And it was a medium level surgery. And at the time, I was deeply into practicing yoga and had developed a kind of love for everything yogic and just a very deep resonance with Ayurveda, which is the Eastern Indian science of medicine. Mm-hmm. And I made a decision to go against the doctor's advice and against my family and against Rich and to heal it myself with the assistance of this Ayurvedic physician. And it, you know, included eating off one sheet of notebook paper for a very long time, mostly plants, and then also taking these very intense herbs every single day. And I was successful and I healed myself after about, you know, almost a year. It was completely gone. And I had proved to myself the power of food to allow the body to heal. And the reason that I said that way is because Ayurveda does not, the herbs do not heal the body. The herbs in the diet restore the body to balance so the body heals itself. And so that was a huge gift for me. It was a huge shift of focus for me to understand what you're putting in your mouth is seriously affecting your entire being.
And to listen to yourself, you had the answer. You knew that you didn't want to have the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I should clarify. I imagine if that wouldn't have worked, I mean, I don't think any of us are saying medicine is bad, but
no,
they're trained to do medicine a certain way.
Yeah. And again, you know, there are levels, you know, of understanding that the body is a miraculous organism.
Yes.
But, you know, we're also exposed to different kinds of toxins.
Yep.
I just have to tell you with the, you know, thousands of emails that we've gotten over 10 years of people who literally have shifted their entire life experience from starting to eat plant-based.
Wow.
And it ranges from curing, you know, health imbalances all the way to completely transforming their lives and them ending up being in greater service to humanity because they're truly doing what they were meant to be doing.
Oh, that's great. I had Rachel Hutchins. She's with the site La Fuji Mama. She was on the show a few months ago, and she had an autoimmune disease, and the doctors were like, nope, there's nothing you can do with your diet. You just have to be on this medicine the rest of your life. And she ignored that advice, and she did switch her diet to plant-based, and it changed her. I mean, she's now completely plant-based and feels great and off the meds too.
That's fantastic.
I think it was lupus.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
I know. I just feel like there's so many stories out there where, like you say, if we listen to ourselves, if we get the right advice and if we follow this plant-based diet, it can make such a big difference.
Yeah, it does. It will completely transform your life.
Yes. And it just helps to hear, you know, people like you talk about that. I mean, a cyst in your neck. I mean, it's obviously impossible to ignore. And, you know,
yeah,
it's gone.
It was very big. It was in the front. It was very visible. I couldn't hide it. It was very, very concerning to many people in my life. They were very concerned about it. And during this was, you know, already a long time ago. So it was 10 years ago. So yeah. I was really going against the grain, and they were like, you are really, you know, being irresponsible. And, yeah. I don't know. I just had a knowingness. I was like, and then I started to see, like, it was 9 months was a whole journey, but after, you know, a few months, I started to see it shrink. And I had little signs along the way that I was gaining, you know, that it was working.
Yes.
So that was an amazing experience, a wonderful. And, you know, now that I look in the rearview mirror, I mean, I had no idea at that time that I was going to end up being a plant-based chef and wellness advocate and all these kind of things. So, you know, you see how beautifully everything just has been laid out, and how each journey, you know, it's a moment and a test and an initiation. Yes. And then you go to the next step, you know.
I'm curious what your thoughts are on about weight, because I think some people go to a plant-based diet as a way of controlling their weight. And I want to ask you this because you are a person who is naturally skinny. You know, you said that you can pretty much eat whatever you want, but I feel like sometimes that means you're from the outside looking in, you can kind of see distortions like emotional eating or things like that. I mean, do you have ideas and thoughts for people who do struggle with their weight and ways to deal with that?
Well, I mean, for all of us, resolving emotional trauma is, you know, a key yes. theme of our life, a key task. And, you know, all disease is the result of unresolved emotions. So these emotions have to be dealt with. And sometimes they're very, very difficult to get at. You know, yes. I've suffered from very severe headaches that I call migraines for many, many years. And I've been on an exploration with that. And it's a balancing act that I have to go back and forth through. So, you know, I'm not immune either. You know, everybody has things that are brought up for them to resolve. But the emotional trauma is key. And I would say that if you're eating, you know, if you have uncontrolled eating, for a person like me, if you just said, don't eat food, that might increase my desire to eat food because
yes.
I hate being told what to do.
I do.
But if I can resolve my emotional trauma around the food or my body image, that seems to be a more foundational point to begin. However, when you embark on that path to truly know yourself and you make that commitment that you are the most important mission of your life, like the most important thing for you is to know yourself. Like that's what you came here to discover, and all the various levels of that. And primary to that is what you put in your mouth. And when you understand that you are a divine emanation of a force, a divine force, a sacred force, if you doubt the existence of a God ever, all you have to do is look inside the human body, because it breathes on its own. It functions with all these different, you know, functions or, you know, processes all day without your participation at all.
Yes.
And there's many things about the body that can't be explained. I mean, it's quite a miraculous organism.
It can even make other bodies.
Yeah. I mean, many things.
Yes.
And it's when you understand that, you can really start to shift and really understand this idea that your body is housing your spirit. And so we want to, this, you know, listen, eating plants doesn't mean that you're immortal and you're never going to die or you're never going to have a challenge, but you certainly don't want to set yourself up in a bad way, you know, in a compromised way. So we want to start at least from a basis of that we know that we need to take care of our bodies, and our bodies are very, very important and they're divine.
Mm. Yeah. So I think what I'm hearing you say is just to find ways to respect yourself and listen to what you're going through. And I think, you know, meditation is a huge part of that. And I highly recommend to anybody who is interested to go check out your podcast, which is Srimati, right?
No, it's Divine Throughline. Srimati is me, S-R-I-M-E-T-I, yes. But the podcast is called Divine Throughline.
It's a little bit like calling my husband. Like, I call him on speed dial and I've got your podcast. I don't even look at the name of it.
Srimati, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, yes. Don't worry. Yeah, and I mean, what I would say to the weight issue is, I guess what I would ask everybody is, this weight issue is between you and you. Mm. So what I would ask myself is, are you embodying the best version of yourself? Is your body in optimum form? It's not about you looking like me or you looking like Marley or your friend or anyone. Every body is unique and it has its optimum form. So have you been supporting it so that it can be in its optimum form? That's more where we need the focus to be, not, you know, being authentically you and being that at the highest level that you can be. That's what you're being asked.
Oh, that's wonderful. And, you know, I think that leads me to this next question I have for you, which is, I've noticed that as you have really come to who you are, you have drawn people towards you that kind of help you in that process. Like, I know that in the book that you had somebody who helped with your food photography, and I don't know, I just think that's so it's an inspiring thing to think about, that as you press towards your passion, then it's almost like people come to help you with that.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that actually. So my photographer for this Jesus Nuts, her name is Leah Marasevich. And Leah is a very dear person in my life. She's been kind of like a niece or a spiritual daughter, and was a nanny to my little girls when they were very young. And my girls are a force of creativity in unique form. And she was always able to receive them in love and in celebration. And it was just a lovely quality that she has. I know her mom for years, and, you know, and her sister, Issa, and they're meditators and beautiful, beautiful, beautiful people. And as life would have it, when I was homeschooling my younger kids, I had really wanted Leah to be at the school and teach with me. And then she went off to college at Soka University, and I was devastated because she went away. And then 4 years passed and she was back. I had a photographer that I hired who was shooting another book project that is sort of just on the back burner right now. And I kept looking at Leah's Instagram, and I wanted her to take the picture. And I saw that she had this extraordinary eye for photography. She had been down also to Central America and had photographed the indigenous people there. And her photographs had so much soul and heart, and it was just amazing. So I asked her if she would work with me, if I could hire her as my assistant and do this book together. And so we set off on this journey together, and we've been together every single day. And you know, I'm making the food and styling, and we're art directing, and she's shooting, and she just kept getting better and better and better and better. And in the end, you know, she shot the cover image for the book. So, once again, just a wonderful experience of life to be able to provide an experience that expands someone else, you know, and while it's helping me. And I call this condition stacked alignment. It's when the alignment is so seamless that what I do for me blesses someone else, like, exponentially, and what she does for me also blesses her. So It's been an amazing experience and has many other facets. She also is an amazing yoga teacher, and she co-teaches yoga on Rich and My retreats. Mm. And we're going to be taking off to Ireland in July. We're doing a retreat July 24th to the 31st. And it's a week of transformation, plant-based food. The happy pair is coming down from Ireland. We're going to practice yoga every day and run with Rich in the forest. And it's this extraordinary experience. And so Leah is going to be a part of that with us. And we're super excited because we were able to get one space on the retreat as a pre-order giveaway for the book. Ooh. So I don't know, when is this podcast going to go up?
As soon as we can make it, probably next week even. Yes.
Okay. So everyone, so you can go and pre-order the book, This Cheese is Nuts. It's available everywhere. You can find it in your bookstores or on Amazon or Barnes and Noble. Uh-huh. But anyway, just we're asking that everybody order 3 copies of the book to enter the giveaway. And just to be clear, there's no purchase necessary to enter a giveaway. We're just asking for you to order 3 copies. So yeah, if you want to get in on that, there's time, and it's going to be really fun to give that trip away. It's actually like almost a $5,000 spot.
Oh my goodness.
It's a huge thing. It's literally like whoever goes, they will never be the same afterwards. We've had just an amazing experience on our international retreats. We've done Italy twice. We were just in Australia. We're doing Ireland. We're going back to Italy next May for 2018. We're booking that right now as well. Mm-hmm. But we've collected a group of about 66 people that are inner tribe, people that have been on the retreats, and we're already collaborating with them, doing all different kinds of stuff. So we have high hopes that this tribe is going to turn into some amazing movement for the planet.
So people just pre-order 3 copies of the book and then go to your site, srimati.com, and enter to be a part of that contest?
Exactly. They'll be directed to the Ireland giveaway and they'll click a link. And they can find out more about our retreats at ourplantpowerworld.com. And those links are also on my site.
Wonderful. So, you know, I love to ask just a couple of fun questions here at the end of the interview.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you are such a foodie, and I'm just curious, what is one food item that you can't live without?
Lemonade.
That's a surprise to me. Why is that?
I don't know. There's just something about it. Like if I had to go to an island, what do they call it? A deserted island. Uh-huh. I would take lemonade.
How do you fix it? I'm curious.
Well, with fresh lemons,
yes,
and lavender and mint.
Mm.
And you know, I'm not a strict vegan. I'm a vegan. I consume honey from sustainable bees. I actually have my own hives here.
Ah, cool.
And the lion's share is always left for the bees.
Yes.
But anyway, so honey is nice. Sometimes I use organic sugar if I don't have anything else. And then also either a premium agave in a light color would also work.
Ah, it sounds wonderful.
Kind of in that order.
Very refreshing.
Yeah. I don't know why that is. I have a thing with lemons. I don't know what it is.
So the other thing about you that we didn't get to talk about much today is that you're a musician. And so this question is really based on that. So if there is just, you know, one band that you could listen to or group, who would that be?
One band that, well, Radiohead.
Ah, yes.
Of course.
Any particular song?
Just everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And actually I met one of the band members, Ed O'Brien. Actually, he met my sons, about, I don't know, 8 months ago or something. And he came up to me and he was like, these kids are amazing. They're amazing.
Wow.
We were all trying to just keep it together and not completely freak out.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up giving us free tickets to a concert. And do you know that I never get sick. I got the flu right before that concert. My sons went without me, which was fine. It was probably because it was supposed to happen that way.
Yes. I kind of feel that way.
They were supposed to go without.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was really lovely. And he was very encouraging to them. And my boys have their first EP coming out in the next few months. So it's exciting.
Very
exciting. They got to meet him. Yeah, definitely.
How cool is that? Okay. So what inspires you?
My children inspire me. My family, Rich Roll, inspires me. I was thinking, I was reflecting on this recently about really what is it in my life that's truly important to me. And I have to say that these individuals that I'm living with in my house, I'm lucky my 20-year-olds are still here.
Yeah.
They're the people that I love to be with, the people that I love to create with, share with, cry with. And family has been a tremendous force in my life and something that's been extremely important to me and extremely loving to me.
Yeah, I see you as a creator, and you know, you've created babies, you've created the music, you've created recipes. It's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be alive in a body on planet Earth. And we all have to remember that we are the ones we've been waiting for. No one else is coming. So we need to all rise up and be our authentic self. Because we were all made in a divine emanation of consciousness, and we need each other. We need you to be more of who you are.
Oh, that's wonderful. Julie, how can people find you online?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Srimati. That's S-R-I-M-A-T-I. Also on my website, srimati.com, S-R-I-M-A-T-I.com.
Oh, Julie, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I had a wonderful time.
Thank you, Marley. Me too. See you soon, I hope.
Thanks to Julie Pyatt for being my guest on today's episode of the Namely Marley podcast. If you'd like more information about today's show, just head over to the show notes page at namelymarley.com/podcast. Also, be sure to order your charm comforter. Go to namelymarley.com/charmsleep and enter the promo code Marley, that's M-A-R-L-Y, and you'll get a $25 discount and free shipping. You know, I hope you're loving the Namely Marley podcast. You can support the show by going over to iTunes or Stitcher and leaving a review. You can also share this episode with your friends and family on social media, or you can share about it on your own blog or podcast. All of these things are very helpful and they mean a great deal. So until next time, may health and happiness come your way today.